there is because the when someone's singing a special, the pianist needs to be able to hear them so that she can stay with them. And if the monitor's not working, then she has to just kind of guess where they are, and it doesn't always work real well. And then I threw Greg a surprise wrench into the works yesterday, because when you led the first song, you didn't realize the very next thing was the special. And I should have probably given you more time to adjust, because that kind of shifted the balance also. Yeah, amen. But you know what was funny? I spent the whole night with that song stuck in my head. Ship Ahoy. Yeah, that's a good song. Leo sure enjoyed that. I wish he, I'm sure in heaven he enjoys that too. Well, 2 Samuel chapter 22. And what we talked about last week is the fact that the Bible is the truth. The Bible is the truth. Well, that's such a good chapter. I hate to miss much of it, but we'll go ahead and go down to the middle of the chapter here. Got to just tell you what's happening. In verse 20, chapter 22 and verse 1, it says, David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord hath delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And if you remember the life of David, he did what was right. He fought the giant. He served Saul. And he then became a man of war. He fought the Philistines and defeated them time and time again. And so everyone thought he was a great guy, except for one man who was jealous, and that was Saul. And isn't it funny that sometimes the people that can cause the most trouble are not the Philistines, but the Christians? That for some reason, they, whatever it is. And so Saul pursued him, took his armies and chased him around, and God protected him. And but Saul made himself David's enemy. The Philistines were David's enemy. And so, good morning. It's good to see you all here today. Come on in. I'm in 2 Samuel chapter 22. So, doesn't it feel good when God delivers you? I was just thinking, you know, there have been times in my life when God delivered me, and it was so exciting. And I was just thinking about folks recently and how God delivers. And you know how it feels when God delivers you. How y'all doing today? It's good to see you. No, it's okay. I'm in 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel 22. So David wrote a song, and that song that David wrote was an expression of his gratitude for the Lord, for what the Lord had done, and that's what we see in this chapter, and it's about deliverance. He says there, for example, in verse 20, he delivered me, but he goes on in verse, I'm trying to find a good place to start before I read my verse here, let's start in verse 28. He says, the afflicted people thou wilt save, but thine eyes are open, are upon the haughty, and those are proud people, that thou mayest bring them down. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. For by thee have I run through a troop, and that'd be a group of soldiers. For by my God have I leaped over a wall. God gave him the strength. Now here's the verse I was going to come down to, verse 31. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord, and who is a rock save our God? I like that phrase in verse 31. The word of the Lord is tried. His way is perfect. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll look at some things there this morning. Father, thank you that we have the opportunity to come to Sunday school. Thank you for each one here. I pray for folks that couldn't be here today. You'd bring them back soon. Think of those folks that are ill. And I pray that you'd protect them today and bring them back to us safely. It's really too many to name right now, but a number of them. And we just pray you'd bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't you love the Bible? When I started my service, my message yesterday, I was hoping folks would understand that in any situation in life, the Bible has the answer. Amen? The thing is, we just need to learn to know enough about the Bible to find those answers. And the best way to do that is to read the Bible every day. And spend time in the Bible and listen to the Bible. I told you before, I used to listen to the Bible in my car, probably on an average two or three hours a week altogether. And over the years, that adds up. You can read the entire Bible out loud in about 80 hours. And the Word of God has the answer to all of our situations. And here, David is writing this song that he is using to recognize what God has done for him. And that's one of the reasons we sing. When we got to the graveside yesterday, I don't usually do this, but I just thought, we just one more time remember Amazing Grace. And I was glad Greg was there to lead that for us. The amazing grace of God. So David is thrilled that God has delivered him. And he says in verse 31, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He's a buckler to all them that trust in him. David wrote these words after God delivered him from his enemies. He understood and wrote that God will respond to men in a way that agrees with the way men see God. And that's what I see in that verse. What I read earlier in verse 28, he says, his eyes are upon the haughty that thou mayest bring them down. Ask you a question. How much do you need God? Amen? Yeah. Yeah, there are some people that don't think about God at all. In fact, Romans 1 says they did not like to retain him in their knowledge, that they don't want to think about God. Why would someone tell me, why wouldn't somebody want to think about God? Yeah, both of those go right together. Sin. In other words, if I think about God, the first thing I think about is God's holy. And even a wicked person kind of knows where God stands in regard to their sin. There are some people that don't, but for the most part. And they don't want to think about God because they like their sin more than they love God. And proud people that think they don't need God, they'll learn. And the folks that do know they need God, God takes care of them. And what I'm trying to say in a roundabout way is God is going to deal with us in some regard. In some ways, he's going to deal with us based upon how we deal with him. In other words, if you don't trust God, if you don't believe what God says, then you're not going to see the same things in your life as someone that's waiting on God and depending on God and trusting God. Amen? So, a lot of people, they think, well, maybe God will, maybe God won't, so I can just take care of my own life. And I think it's important for us to come to that place to where we realize we depend on God. And when you come to God with that kind of faith, he deals with you differently. Now think about David's life. Did David trust God throughout his life? He did. Did he have an easy life? Oh, not in terms that we would describe as easy. He was pursued by Saul. And then after he became the king, he sinned, and that cost him some things. And then after that sin with Bathsheba, his sons, in some cases, turned against him. One of them rebelled and tried to become the king and chased David out of town, literally, and would have killed him if he could have. So there are trials in our life, but I like that verse. The afflictions of the righteous are many, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Amen. And so that was David's experience in his life. Those that believe on God see deliverance, and those that deny him are going to experience the consequences of that. go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Every time I go to a different passage, we probably ought to stop and ask ourselves, what are we going to do different about what we just saw? Is it going to affect our lives? Are we going to be changed by what God says or not? Psalm 119. Now again, this is the second part of our lesson that we've been talking about, the amazing word of God, the fact that the Bible is the truth. And when you read a verse in the Bible, I can guarantee you it's the truth. I can't say that about any other book. I can't say that about the NIV because I know that there are errors in it. I know there are a number of errors in it. I can't say that about other versions because I know they're missing verses and they've changed things. But when I read the King James Bible, I know everything I read is the truth. There are no errors in it. And the Bible, again, declares itself to be the truth. So Psalm 119, 160. Bronson, can you read that verse for me? Psalm 119, 160. Thy word is true from the beginning. What do you think? The beginning of what? Yeah, any beginning you want to pick, really. The beginning of time? The beginning of the Bible? The beginning of our life, certainly. Yeah, the word of God. Someone says, well, you know, the word of God is was good one day, but we've outgrown that. We've gone beyond that. We're smarter than that now. No, he says it was true from the beginning, and his judgments endure forever. So the practicality of the Bible is true, just as true today as it was the day that the world was created. And it will be true for all eternity. You know, there's a lot of things that we have that are dated. How many of you have a really old computer in your garage somewhere taking up space? You just haven't thrown away because you've paid so much money for it. I'm going to tell you something. It's useless. Throw it away. All right? It has served its purpose. And you're not going to use it again. It probably won't even turn on anymore. I've got two at my house like that right now. If I turn them on, they just look at me. They don't do anything. And I don't know why I won't throw them away. I can take the hard drive out, I guess, at least. But that's not the way the Bible works. The Bible's always true. Always going to work. It's never going to be outdated. Never going to stop being effective. And I've had people say to me, I heard a man say one time, he said, well, you know, my situation is just different, and the Bible just doesn't deal with my situation. And yeah, it did deal with his situation. He just wanted to sin, and he didn't like the fact that the Bible disagreed with his sin. John 17:17, yeah, I'm going to turn there. It's here on the hand, or my handout. I'll read it to you. It says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Okay, go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. We talked about this a little bit last week. We're going to spend some time in Romans this morning. We won't be too long here. Someone tell me, if you don't have enough faith, you feel like my faith is weak, I need more faith, where can you get more faith? Go to Lowe's, right? Aisle 10. They got a can of faith in there somewhere. No? Yeah, tell me how. I like that. In fact, you hit the nail on the head. Read verse 17 there, Romans chapter 10. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And okay, let's talk about that a little bit. First of all, sometimes we think of hearing as just the ability to perceive sound. But how many people have heard something and you didn't listen to it, and it didn't even go in one ear and out the other. It never went in one ear. You heard it and didn't pay any attention to it. Sort of like if you're sitting around the house talking and someone's got the TV going in the next room, and you know, you might hear a word every now and then, but you're not paying any attention to it. That's sadly the way some people treat the Bible sometimes, even in church, is they just don't listen to it. They're thinking about something else, or they're preoccupied. So it's not just that it bumps into your ear and makes your ear know there's a sound, but hearing is when it makes it from the ear into the heart. Amen? That's real hearing, is when we hear. Faith cometh by hearing. Now, I will give you this. If you haven't got, if you're not reading the Bible, you're not hearing the Bible, you're not studying the Bible at all, then there's not going to be any hearing, is there? You got to have a Bible, and you got to spend some time in it. Whether you read it, or whether somebody preaches it, or whether somebody reads it to you, but you need the Word of God to get into you to increase your faith. Now, how does that work? Greg, you got a thought? How does the Bible give us faith? Okay. Remember in the old days before, you know, you've got a GPS on everything now, on your phone. I used to have one of those with a suction cup that stuck on the windshield of the car. That's when they first came out. And before the days of those, remember you had a map? Have you ever used a map that had an error on it? That's frustrating. I used to go on visitation with a pastor in a big, big, big church in Dallas, Gary Coleman, LeVon Drive Baptist Church, and God allowed me to be his visitation partner for a little over a year and a half, right about a year and a half. And so he would drive and I would navigate. Now, Dallas, Texas is a huge place. And so we would have an address, and I would look in the back of this book, and I'd find the address, and they would say, go to page 185 and look at grid B9. Okay, so flip, 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 185, B9, and you'd try to find the street. And then from there, you'd say, okay, the way to get there, you had to kind of figure it out, you know. Go up I-75, get off on Plano Road or whatever, and it was a whole lot of work, but... You know, except I think one time that map, it took us off out into the country and it was the wrong street. But as a general rule, that map was trustworthy, and I learned that if I wanted to get somewhere, I could trust that map to get me there. I had faith in what the map said. You know, the same thing happens with the Bible. Amen? I was just thinking this morning, you know what? If you had money trouble, maybe what you ought to do is give some more to God, and maybe he'd take care of you. You know, that's just a wild thought. But if you have sadness in your life, you know what you do is go do something for somebody and be a blessing to them, and that gives you joy. And but we learn these things in the Bible. The Bible tells us how to live our life. And so, you know, we've been around for a while, and these young people here haven't got this advantage, but the older folks here do. We've been reading the Bible and living according to the Bible and trusting God. And one of the most common experiences we have is when we have a need to be delivered, and then God answers our prayer and delivers us, then what we see is that God is faithful, and we begin to have more faith, whether it has to do with anything in your life. You say, I'm worried about something. Well, trust God, and what you'll find out is you don't need to worry. You can just trust God. So, and sometimes we don't understand what God is doing. David, for example, might not have understood why God let him be pursued by Saul. But I think God was preparing David to be the king and hardening David and giving David some experience that he needed later on. So the point of the matter is, Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you need faith, get in the Bible, but don't just read the story. Ask, what is God showing me as to how I can apply this to my life today? Now, I'm in Romans chapter 10, and we're going to spend a little more time here, but go back over to Romans chapter 1. We're going to start there. And this is one of the most important passages in the Bible, I think, if you will try to understand what makes people the way they are. Romans chapter 1, here's the illustration to get us going here. I did a computer installation one time at Carswell Air Force Base in Fort Worth, Texas. Carswell Air Force Base isn't there anymore. I think they closed it. But they had a bank that we were installing a computer system in. And they had been using this old computer system for years and years and years. And they had these machines. They're called teller machines. And they were made by IBM. And they hated them because they broke all the time. And so when they got ready to replace their system with a new system, they sold all their old equipment, mostly for parts, but they kept one of those teller machines. They kept one for this purpose. They all got together, they had a little ceremony, and they went up into the second story of this building, and threw the thing down the stairs. Thunk, 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 thunk. And they just wanted the experience of seeing that thing go down the stairs. It was kind of picturesque to them to know that they were done with those. They didn't have to use those anymore. They had something better now. And you think about something falling downstairs. That's what you see. And I'll make it make more sense in a minute when I read it to you in Romans chapter 1. So after Paul makes his introduction, he begins to describe things. He starts out there in verse 16, which is a verse that you probably ought to memorize. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, what is the power of God? The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. There it is again. If you don't believe, it's not the same. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Okay? So we're thinking about believing. He says in verse 15, he's ready to preach the gospel. He says in verse 14, he's a debtor to the Greeks and to the barbarians. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. So in verse 17, here we go. Watch. I'll try to show you the steps as we see it. He says, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And he's quoting the Old Testament there. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth. That's interesting. In unrighteousness. They hold the truth. This, we're talking about the amazing Bible. It's the truth. Watch this. Here we go. Here's the steps. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto them, for the invisible things of him, that's God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. That is a verse you need to understand. The creation of the world clearly demonstrates that there is a God. You can't see God, but you can see his creation. If you were standing beside a lake and you had your eyes closed and you heard a sound of something splashing, it doesn't take long to figure out something fell in the water. You didn't see it, but you heard the effect of it. I can sit in my house, and you can too, and look out the window, and the windows are closed. You can't hear a thing, but you can see the leaves doing this. You know, the wind's blowing, right? Okay, so here's what God's saying. He says, they're without excuse because creation shows them there's a God. Amen? If you are standing next to me, we're looking through the window, and we see the trees doing this, all of them, for as far as you can see. And I said, the wind is blowing. And you said, there's no such thing as wind. I think you're crazy. Look, you can see the effect. And that's not the best illustration, but I got a better one. Two guys are walking along, and one of them looks down, and he sees something shiny on the ground, and he picks it up, and he looks at it, and it is, you've got a flat glass surface on the front, and inside that glass, he sees some hands, two of them, a big one and a little one, and some numbers. What's he found? Yeah. So he looks at this, and he says to the other guy, isn't this amazing? Look what nature just coincidentally created. And it's moving. Look at that. Why, that's astounding that nature would just suddenly appear from rocks and things. And no, somebody made that watch, right? That's that intelligent design argument that was going on about 10 or 15 years ago. People didn't want anybody to teach intelligent design. Folks, I can just tell you one thing. If you can look at your body and think it's a coincidence, you're the one that needs some intelligence. God created you. Clear as the day that that happened. So someone says, God didn't create me, evolution produced me. You are willfully ignorant. You don't want there to be a God. If you had any sense at all, you'd realize that's impossible. you know what's funny? You can argue with some people till the cows come home and they won't admit they're wrong. You all know what a DNA molecule is? DNA? I should know that full term. Dihydroribonucleic acid. Yeah, there you go. And it's a double helix, and they're intertwined with each other. And what are the chemicals in there, Greg? You got phosphorus and carbon, and I can't remember all of them, hydrogen, and a couple of others. And you know what that is? Do you know why I'm not going to be mean. I was going to say, do you know why Bella has long hair and Brother Gonzalez has no hair? But you had hair at one time. Okay? Greg's still got color in his hair. I don't. Bronson's got very thick black hair. And some of the ladies here have different colored hair, and we'll give them the benefit of the doubt on that one. I won't talk about dye and that sort of thing. But my point is, you know what makes all of us different? DNA. It's amazing that everything about you, the size of your nose, the shape of your hands, the color of your skin, how tall you are, all of that starts with this giant, complicated, incredibly complex DNA molecule. And you've heard how they catch criminals with DNA because no two people have the same. Now, here's what you might not know. Not just any combination of carbon and phosphorus and oxygen produces something that will be a living DNA. In fact, if you began to experiment, and the, you know what the term permutations means, different possible combinations, if you began to experiment with all the different possibilities for the composition of that DNA molecule, and you tried one possibility every second, I forgot how many trillion years it would be before you found one that worked, statistically. Now, I just pull that rabbit out of the hat. There's 1,000 facts like that that demonstrate to me evolution is ridiculous. You know, look at your hands. The first time I saw childbirth, I thought, that's so amazing how God designed childbirth. Folks, I can't imagine not believing that there's a God. But the Bible says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And there are people out there like that, okay? So watch this. The Bible says, creation in verse 20 shows that there's a God. They're without excuse. Now watch the steps. Here we go. Verse 21, when they knew God. When, not if. When they knew God, they made a decision. They glorified him not as God. There is a step down, okay? In other words, they said, nope, I don't want to believe that. They glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Okay, so here we go. They knew and they rejected. They said, no, I don't want that. And so now this darkness came on their heart. And you might understand why people are the way they are. When you deny the truth of the Bible, that's what happens. Your heart is darkened. Now look at verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise. Haven't you ever heard somebody say, well, you know, we our science, we know more about things than the Bible. You know, we've progressed past the Bible. We're wise. We got it figured out. Science has far exceeded what the Bible tells us. What you'll find out is when science disagrees with the Bible's right. And by the way, you won't find that very often, okay? I've seen lots of examples where science agrees with the Bible. But folks, you know what science is? Science is something that you can produce, or you can reproduce the effect. I can guess. There's a thing called a hypothesis where I guess something. But I was just reading something about physics the other day. I forgot what this. Oh, it was talking about the World War II when they built the atomic bomb. And these guys were talking about how they got to that place where they made it work. And they said, you know, there's two kinds of physicists. There's the theoretical physicist. Einstein was one of those. Where they look at things and they say, here's what ought to happen. And they have a guess. They think this is what ought to happen. But then there is another kind of physicist, and I forgot the term right now. And what he does is he does an experiment, and the experiment proves the first guy right. And then this guy was very serious. He says, you know, we won't accept a guess unless we can reproduce it in the lab. And then we know that's what happens. Or I can't take time to tell you this story, but a lot of the things Einstein guessed turned out to be true, but they couldn't prove them for years and years and years. He was very good at what he did, but still people wanted proof. Now, that's interesting to me because nobody seems to want proof for evolution. And if I can just be colloquial, it ain't happening anymore. there aren't any intermediate. You should, if evolution happens, you should still see it today. There should be some dog birds out there, or you know, some of these intermediates that from step to step to step. There should be some fish, but they're not. And you don't even have skeletons. You haven't even got fossils of those kind of things. Because folks, God created a finished product. He did not create a process that took a long time to complete. So proof, there's no proof. They say they're wise, but they're fools. If they believe something that they can't reproduce or they can't see. And look at verse 23 here. We're going down the steps here. They change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. What are the idols that you see people sculpt out? They'll make a statue or something. And you've seen them in Thailand a lot. You don't see them in this country so much. But they think of God as an animal or as a bird or as something like Dagon, the fish god that the Philistines had and so on. And they make God into something that is not what he is. Verse 24. So here we go. We're down another step here. First step was their heart was darkened in verse 21. Verse 24. So God gave them up to uncleanness. Okay? This is the next stair. They've fallen further. Through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. In other words, now there's immorality. There is wickedness. There are things happening that are immoral. We use that term, immoral. And why are they that way? Because they rejected God. And they made God into something he's not. Verse 25, they changed the truth of God into a lie. And now watch this. You see this all the time. They worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. Now watch this. Isn't it true today? Everyone's worried about save the planet. We would hate it if a species ceased to exist. So when I was at Fort Polk one time, I was at Fort Polk, and they said, now, when you're out here training at Fort Polk with your soldiers, don't, if you come across a tree with a sign on it, and it says something about an owl, stay away from that tree, because there is an owl here in Fort Polk that is it's an endangered species, and I'm all for taking care of things, but they said, don't go around those trees, because that sign means that there's an owl in that tree. And what they didn't realize was that a lot of our soldiers just thought it was a great fun to take a armored personnel carrier and drive over a tree. And some of them didn't have a whole lot of ethics. And if they saw one of those signs, they're heading that way. The best thing to do, don't put the signs on the tree. Just keep it quiet. That's where the owls are. But they wanted to protect those owls. That's okay. Protect the owls. That's fine. But I want you to know something. God is going to protect his creation. And you and I haven't got to worry about it a whole lot. And what's happening today is people that won't worship God, won't acknowledge God, they don't mind killing babies by abortion in the millions, but they sure want to protect the planet. And they sure are worried about saving the oceans or whatever, saving this, saving that. You see this all the time. People are obsessed with environmentalism, we call it, and they have no interest at all in God. And again, I don't think we should trash our planet, but you'll see that a lot of people that have turned away from God, now they worship his creation. And they spend their whole life studying gorillas or whatever. And I think there are better ways to spend our lives, like trying to help people. So here we go. We're going down the steps here. They changed the truth of God into a lie. They worship the creature more than the creator. Now here's another one of those falls. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. Do you see what God's doing here? In verse 21, their heart was darkened. In verse 24, he gave them up to uncleanness. In verse 26, he gave them up unto vile affections. And without getting into the details here, he's talking about homosexuality. Now, that's what verses 26 and verse 27 say. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, here's another fall, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And now they're filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. That's an interesting thing to have in that list, isn't it? Verse 32. They know the judgment of God, that they which commit things are worthy of death, but not only do they do the same, but they have pleasure in them that do them. I went kind of fast there, but do you see what happened? Man fell. Sounds like we need a Savior, amen? That's what happens when you don't believe the Bible. And it's hard to explain. I've talked to these people, and I've talked to people that I grew up with that became this way, and they're beyond reason. And you say, why won't they open their eyes? Do you see what God did in their life because they rejected Him? In that He darkened their heart in verse 21. He gave them up to uncleanness in verse 24. He gave them up to vile affections in verse 26. He gave them over to reprobate mind. There's boom, 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 fall down, 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 down. Folks, if it wasn't for the grace of God, nobody would ever get saved. And we come back to chapter 10 to see how that happens, and I haven't got time to do that today. So verse 1 of chapter 2, are you there? Chapter 2 in Romans, verse 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art, that judgest. And he's dealing with some people in Romans that judge. He says that you do the same thing that you're judging in verse 2. And we come to chapter 3 where he says that we've all sinned, and then he gets into the gospel. So just the moral of the story is, folks, the Bible's the truth. And when you deny that, you're setting yourself up for horrible, horrible situation. Amen? Aren't you glad you believe the Bible? You want some more faith? Read it more often. Practice it. Live it. Believe it. Let it change you. And we'll kind of stop right there and stand and be dismissed in a word of prayer.